Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
We talk about spring and summer. Well, we used to, but not anymore. It's tornado season and hurricane season. The weather has been dominated by severe storms of very many varieties. The tornado season is only half over, and already there have been 100 deaths reported. Turns out the United States is an ideal climate for tornadoes. We've known that for a long time, but why are they so severe this year? Harold Brooks of the National Severe Storms Lab in Norman, Oklahoma, joins us. Dr. Brooks, why are the storms this year so many and seemingly so severe, even given the climate for tornadoes is very favorable here in North America?
Well, one of the big things is the fact that we've had the jet stream has been strong this year, and over the coming out of the southwest United States, over the central part of the U.S., and when the jet stream is strong, that typically means that the storms move a little bit faster, and they tend to be a little bit stronger, and those things have just added up to what's been a very big tornado year so far.
How does that work? Does the jet stream actually add energy to storms that already exist? Or, I mean, you hear when you talk about hurricanes that the energy comes from the heat of the atmosphere. Where does the energy come from for tornadoes?
Well, the energy for tornadoes actually comes from the condensation and the evaporation of water. The change of water from water vapor to cloud and to rain is actually the main driver of how storms are formed. And then as rain falls and evaporates, that actually is what provides the energy for the tornado itself. And while that may seem like a fairly benign process, a large thunderstorm is actually producing energy at the level of a hydrogen bomb every second.
Does that have anything to do with global warming, or are we mixing apples and bananas?
You're mixing apples and bananas. We really don't have any expectation of what global warming will do to tornadoes. We think we have a pretty good case that global warming may have an impact and increase the frequency of the very largest hail. But the tornadoes themselves, as we look in the historical record, we don't see any relationship to, say, the U.S. national temperatures, and that our physical understanding of how they work really doesn't lead us to believe that even what sign the impact, if any, that there will be from global warming.
Well, let's talk about those nasty hailstones then. How would climate change or incremental warming of the atmosphere make hailstones bigger? I thought they would be smaller.
Well, what will actually happen is that the size you get out of hail out of a storm is essentially related to how strong the updraft in the storm is. And if we increase the temperature at low levels and we increase the moisture at low levels, which will go along with the temperature, then there's more energy for the storm for the updraft, and that updraft then will be stronger and will likely hold up larger stones. Now, it's possible that small hail may decrease in frequency. There's some evidence from China that's happened over the last 40 years.
What are we to make of this particular year? 100 dead, the season's half over, so many different storms. Is this a blip, or do you think this is a trend and that this is something we have to look for every year, really, going forward?
Well, it's probably more of a blip, although there are issues with demographics. As as the population in mobile homes has increased, they're a more vulnerable population, and so when tornadoes hit them, your chances of survival are a whole lot less. But that we've seen big years in the past. 1998 and 99 were very big years. 1991 was a big year, and we go back historically, the early 70s and late 50s were certainly big. And in the last couple of years, 2006 and 2007, at least meteorologically, there haven't been that many tornadoes. And one of the things that's important to remember when we look at deaths is that tornado deaths are a result of a combination of both the meteorological event and the social event, that something has to be hit.
The vulnerability, right, the vulnerability of places like mobile home parks. Well, last question. I don't want to make light of people's terror, but everyone describes a tornado coming as like a freight train. Do you have any sort of other metaphor for the tornado?
Well, the freight train, what's really interesting is that actually what you'll hear from people frequently is something that's relevant to where they are. People who live near airports will talk about it sounding frequently like airplanes landing. And so I think that's one of the big things is that tornadoes actually hit at all of their senses, the sound, people report smelling things, and then the sight. It's a pretty nasty place to be.
They sound like the end of the world.
The
enormity
yeah.
of the sound. I think you just said it perfectly, which is it assaults every one of your senses. I've been in and around and tornadoes, and the thing about it, you just don't know which direction they're going in.
Yeah.
They're
very
scary.
Yeah, one of the things when Twister premiered for a group in Dallas, Texas, that had actually been through a tornado, none of them thought that the visuals were particularly good of what a tornado looked like, but all of them talked about that the sound
Wow.
Yes. Right. Just the massive sound.
The massive sound.
Harold Brooks. Thank you very much. He's from the National Severe Storms Lab. And I just want to point out that there is a very lively conversation going on about sexism and the Democratic primary race on our website. JC says, it appears that you guys, John and myself, just don't get it. HRC's battering was a blow to millions of women, not because she's still behind, but the way the press pundits and her fellow Democrats beat her up. Raymond Gray says it's not sexism, but instead millions of people who supported Barack.
Also, people are responding to what's the most impractical car you ever had. My first car was a tiny 1970 Fiat 850 sports coupe. I was the king of the road, shutting down Volkswagen Beetles at every stop sign, says Dominic DePinto via our website. 877-8-MY-TAKE is how you can reach us, or mytake@thetakeaway.org. Thanks for all those responses.